ready to go. We can move chairs, whatever we need to do. Couple of things first. One, my brain to mouth chip that was dysfunctioning in the first meeting this morning, what I was trying to spit out and say was the verse, "He who has, more will be given. He who does not have, even what he has, will be taken away." For whatever reason, the connection just didn't quite get there in time. I had to move on. Anyway, and also, I specifically prayed, putting this together for the kids, that the Lord would use someone to call the song Power in the Blood. It's incredible. And thank you, Asher, for playing piano. That's great. It's good to see more people getting involved in ministry and doing the work.
Amen.
That was great. You did a great job. That song is going to go right along with what we're going to talk about today. And it's very nostalgic for me as well, because that was one of my grandma's favorite songs. And I remember standing beside her when I was about three or four, and she would be just belting that song out. She loved it when they sang that song in the church meeting. So it's a good song. Power in the Blood. There is power in the blood. In the blood of the Lamb. And that's what I would like to talk with you guys about today, is not just the blood of the Lamb. We're going to look at that. But I would like to specifically talk about breaking bread. Okay? And what that means and what it is. Alright? So, we're going to look at this, but to get to that, I think we need to go back into Exodus. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 12. This is where we find the Passover. Exodus chapter 12. Everybody there? Okay. Exodus 12. And we're going to read a decent section of this. Okay. Let's start in verse 3. Okay. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the tenth of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb." So, everybody was to take a lamb. All right, and maybe there was only one person in a house, maybe there was 15 in a house. So if there was too much or not enough, they could get together so they weren't killing 30 lambs for the needs of just a smaller group of people, or vice versa. Okay, that's what he's saying. Exodus chapter 12. Find it. Exodus chapter 12. There's Exodus. Chapter 12. Right there. There you go. Right there. All right. Let's read on. "Your lamb shall be without blemish." What does that mean? What do you think? Without blemish. Go ahead.
It's not dirty and it doesn't have any wounds. It can't have any spots. It has to be completely white.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. It can't be wounded, obviously. It can't be maimed in some sort of way or irregular, you know, you can't have a three-legged lamb. You know, okay? So it has to be without blemish. A male of the first year. So it had to be a boy or girl? Yes.
Boy.
A boy. And of the first year. So is that a young one or an old one? What do you think? Yes. Yep, go ahead.
A young one.
A young one. Very good. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. So we started on the 10th and is going to keep it till the 14th. How many days is that? Yes. 10 to 14. Yep.
Four.
Very good. Okay, 4 days. We're going to keep this lamb. All right? And what they're going to do is they're going to observe it just to make sure that it's not defective. Okay? Make sure it's totally normal. All right? Can't have any blemish, remember? Okay. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And I'm at verse 7 now. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Yes.
What does blemish mean?
What? What does blemish mean? Blemish? Blemish. Yeah. It can't have any defects. Like it can't be sick or it can't be missing a leg. That would be a bad blemish. Okay? Good? All right. So they were to do what with the lamb? Saraya? Okay. But in order to do that, what would you have to do first? Go ahead. Yeah, you got to kill it. So you'd have to take this perfect lamb with no blemishes, and you'd have to kill it. And then take the blood and put it where? Ellie?
On two doorposts and the lintel.
Okay. What's the lintel? Yeah, go ahead.
The top of the door?
Yes, the top. So the sides of the doorpost and the top and back down the other side. Okay? And then they had to eat it, as Saraya said also. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and other, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire. Its head, with its legs and its entrails, you shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So, what would happen? They would take the blood,
And put it where? Yeah, Jocelyn? Okay. And then what would happen? They would eat it, and they would eat their meal. And how would they do that? Abby? Very good. Got all three. Why do you think they would do that? Sriya? Okay. Jocelyn? Okay. What was the Lord going to do? Why was he doing this to begin with? What was going to happen? Sriya? Okay, that's what the death angel was coming, right? And the firstborn, man and beast, was going to die if the Lord didn't see the blood. He was not going to pass over. But if he saw the blood, he would pass over, and that death angel would not destroy the firstborn in that house, right? And so this is how, I think you guys have probably heard this account several times, this is how the Lord was going to bring Israel out of Egypt, right? Remember all the plagues that Moses went in as God instructed him to do beforehand to Pharaoh? And Pharaoh, what did Pharaoh do? Did he let him go? Abby?
The last time he did.
But before that?
No.
No, he didn't. He said he would and then he wouldn't. And this went on and on. 9 times this went on. And finally the Lord said, okay, there's one more thing that's going to happen. And then he told Moses, they're going to let you go. And you're going to go with haste. And so that is why he said, you be ready. You eat this that night with your belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, because this isn't going to be Thanksgiving dinner where we sit around and hang out afterward and take a big nap afterward. Right? We're going to eat this, and you're going to be on the move. Because the Egyptians, when that death angel goes through the city and kills the firstborn in every house, they're going to be ready for you to get out of here. And they were, weren't they? The death angel came, and the Egyptians were wailing because their firstborn had died. From Pharaoh right down to the servants, it had happened. And the Egyptians were exceedingly sorrowful, and they just want these people to get out of here. They've had enough. And so they did it with these things, eat it in haste. And verse 14, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. What's a memorial? What do you think a memorial is? We have memorials, don't we? You can go to a memorial. I just visited a World War I memorial in Kansas City, and it was very interesting. What is it? Soraya. Okay, you can have a memorial funeral service, yeah? Jocelyn?
Memorial, since
there's no more, it probably means memory. It is where you remember something and you celebrate it somewhere, a special place by, like, memory or something. Okay, yeah, very good. It'd be a way that you remember, yes. An event that took place or someone, like you said, a memorial service, you'd have that happening there. I went to the World War I memorial, and it talked about how the war began and what happened, and it was kind of a tribute to the men that had died and lost their lives in that horrific war. And it was a way to
remember them. It was there were things set up there, and you could see the old guns and their clothing and the cannons and all of these things, and it would remind us of what had happened, right? It would be a good reminder. And it's important to remember history so that you don't forget and repeat bad history. Okay, so the Lord set this up, this Passover. They were to do this how long? Abby. What?
4 days.
Okay, they'd watch the lamb for 4 days, but how many times were they to do the Passover, this whole thing? How many times were they to do this? Asher?
Once a week?
Nope. Not once a week, but... Abby?
Once a year.
Once a year, yes. They would do the Passover, okay? And how many years? Yes, they were to do this all the time, every year. Throughout your generations, you shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Okay? Now, I want you to skip down. We're going to skip down to verse 24. So the same chapter, Exodus 12. Skip down to verse 24. Says, and you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you. Remember, he's bringing them out of Egypt, and he was bringing them where? Ellie.
To the promised land,
yes. So he's going to give them this land just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be, now watch this, verse 26. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded. So, why were they to do this Passover every year? Why were they to do it? I mean, every year, wouldn't once be enough? I mean, they did if they put the blood on the doorpost and all these things, and the death angel came and they got delivered out of Egypt and brought into the promised land, I mean, why do it again? Right? Look at all the hands. Are you raising your hand, Asher?
Sort of.
Okay.
Was it to remember that you didn't kill them?
Yeah. Good. It was to remember, right? It's a memorial. He didn't want them to forget. And more importantly, not to forget why. Okay? Who are they to do this with? Yeah, Saria.
Their family.
Yeah. So there was a closeness involved in this, wasn't there? They did it with family, maybe friends, neighbors, needed with the lamb, right? Now, let me ask you this. What do you think would happen if the adults quit explaining to the children why they did this, but just kept doing it? What do you think would happen? Because he told them, when your children ask about this, you tell them. What do you think would happen if the adults didn't explain that? Abby?
And the children grew up, they might forget about it.
Yeah.
They might not do it anymore. They just think this is just where you need a little. There's nothing to do.
Yeah. Did everybody hear that? She said they wouldn't
do it anymore, or they might just do it and it would just be a lamb. And they would just eat the lamb. And unfortunately, that's exactly what became of Israel for a while, didn't it? It was just another feast. It was just another holiday. Just another day off work. Just another whatever. And it meant nothing. Yeah, can you imagine just sitting around, you're like, hey, Fred, how's your lamb? Pretty good, Myrtle. Hey, did you catch any fish this morning? That's pretty foolish, isn't it? And you're just doing this thing, but you're not thinking, it's kind of like, whatever, we're just here to eat a meal, right? That wouldn't be good. Okay, let's go to the New Testament. Let's turn to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Verse 17. If your neighbor needs help, help them out to find it. Matthew 26, verse 17. Okay, you got it? Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the..." What? Go ahead. Passover. So here we are, hundreds of years later, and they're still doing the Passover. Right? And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' He answered and said, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better, good for that man if he had not been born.' Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, is it I?' He said to him, 'You have said it.'" Verse 26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins.'" So, did the Lord Jesus observe the Passover? Was he here? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes,
here he is.
Okay, that was not a trick question. Here he is, he's eating the Passover meal with his disciples, right? But something is different. What did Jesus say that was different about this Passover? He didn't just eat and drink here. He said in the end of verse 26, "Take, eat, this is my body." What is that all about? What was he talking about?
Jocelyn.
Since he's breaking the bread, maybe it's like, since his bread is the body, I think it might be that his body would be like broken and would be like ripped apart.
Okay. We know that now, don't we? Do you think they knew that yet? Probably not. I don't think they got it.
And then how about the cup?
Yes, Rhea. And it would symbolize his what? His blood, yeah.
And so this was different, because this would be the last Passover that he would have with his disciples. Because what was going to happen? What was going to happen, Ray? Do you know? Where was he going? The Lord Jesus, where was he going? Go ahead. Yeah, he was going to the cross. Yeah, he was going to be crucified. And so this was the last time. That's why he said in verse 29, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So there's a promise there of hope, isn't there? That even though they may not even understand everything that's happening here yet, but they will, because they're going to see him crucified. But he tells them that one day he's going to drink that new with them again. Well, that means what? He would have to be alive, right? So there's encouragement in this as well. Did you know that Jesus, the scriptures say that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us? Do you remember what John the Baptist said about Jesus when he saw him coming to his baptisms that he was doing by the Jordan? What did he say? Do you remember what John the Baptist said? Yeah, Soraya. Yes, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so Jesus is compared to that Lamb. And also, remember how they would keep that Lamb for how many days and look at it? How many? Four. Good answer on the fly there. 4 days. And why did they do that? To make sure of what?
To make sure it wasn't
going to. Yes, very good. And do you know that the Lord Jesus, he was examined too? How many times did the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers and the common people and the soldiers and everybody, they all examined him, didn't they? They tried to trick him. They tried to catch him at something. They tried and they tried and they tried, and yet the Bible, what did Pilate say at the conclusion of it all before they sentenced him to death? Pilate said what? Who knows? Ellie. I find no guilt in this man. I find no fault in him. And Peter writes, who knew no deceit, nor was any guile in his mouth. The Lord Jesus was examined just like that Passover lamb, wasn't he? Isn't that interesting? There's so many pictures that we see of the Lord Jesus in that Passover. There's many, many more. But anyway, it's through his blood, isn't it, that we have redemption. Ephesians 1:7 says that. And just like those Israelites were delivered from that death angel, the scripture says something about us. If we believe on the Lord Jesus, he delivers us from what to come? Soraya. Okay, there's a specific word that starts with a W that I'm thinking of. He delivers us from the... Do you know, Ellie? Asher? Close. Saraya?
Wrath
to come. He delivers us from the wrath to come. Yes. And you can believe on him and be saved from the wrath to come. That sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, not just a lamb, not just another animal dying, but this was the very Son of God. And this sacrifice was perfect. And it was so perfect that it would never have to be done again.
The book of Hebrews talks about that. Because if it did have to be done again, that would mean that it wasn't perfect. And it wasn't complete. But it is complete, and it will never have to be done again, and that is why. It's because it completely satisfied the Father in regards to sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then, and you shall be saved. And when you become a believer, He asks you to do something to remember Him. What is it? Soraya. Okay. Who can say exactly what He said? Do. Yeah? Do this in remembrance of me. Yes. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Help your neighbor out if they can't find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Okay, everybody there? Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." And so the Lord has instituted this memorial for us. We don't sacrifice a lamb anymore. Could you imagine bringing a lamb in here? Every week? Or even once a year? How do you think the school would like that? Bring a lamb in here and kill it? Big mess all over the place? Try and get that out of the carpet. But we don't bring a lamb anymore, do we? No, because the sacrifice has been done once and for all in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And so, we have this bread, as we did this morning. There was bread here, and there was a cup here, which was symbolic of His broken body and His what? Blood, shed blood. And we remember this time, that what He has done for us and what He will do for us, right? And so it's important also to be serious about these things, right? Look at verse 27. We're almost done. "And therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and of the cup." So this is a serious thing, right? It's not something we don't want to be like, hey, Fred, how's the fish biting? How's your lamb? Right? We want to be paying attention to what's going on, right? We want to be serious about the time, right? We want to be involved. Now, if you don't say anything in the meeting, can you still be involved? How?
Yeah.
Okay, by listening. Soraya? Yeah, okay. Jocelyn? Abby? Yeah, everybody can worship together, whether you're saying anything or not. Sometimes I don't say anything either. But I'm here, and I'm listening, and I'm thinking about what I've read during the week, and what's being said, and how the Lord is confirming those things in my heart, like that song that was called this morning. I prayed specifically for something, and the Lord answered that prayer. You can do the same. He may not answer it always the same way, but you can certainly pray to the Lord and ask Him to show you things, reveal things to you. We can be involved, and it's important when we come together as a body, when the church comes together, to be involved together and functioning together. So we pay attention to these things. Now, I just want you to think back for a minute, and we'll close with this. Imagine that firstborn back in Israel, and that night was coming. Now, some of you sitting here are the firstborn. Jocelyn, you're the firstborn. Ray, you the firstborn? Yeah, you're the firstborn. Saraya, the firstborn. Kendra, is that it for firstborns? Now imagine that night is coming, and you know, I mean everybody there knows, that the Lord has announced this to Moses. You need to take a lamb, and you need to kill it, and you need to take that blood and get it on those doorposts, because if that blood is not there, what's going to happen? Asher.
You'll die.
Yeah. Would you be a little concerned that your parents were involved in this and taking some initiative to get this done? Would that concern you as a firstborn? Can you imagine, you know, Dad, you sure you got the details on how to do this? Are you positive? And what if he said something like, well, yeah, mostly. You know, I think I got it down. It should be close. You know, I might not have every little detail, but we're close. How would you feel? Or how about, Dad, are you prepared? Like, where's the lamb, Dad? Right? And what if he said something like, yeah, but I got to get one more thing done, and then we'll get ready. I got to get this done, and then we'll get ready. Or how about, you know, Dad, you're remembering that this is like tonight, right? This isn't tomorrow night. This is tonight. Okay? And what if he said something like, you know, I'm kind of tired. Yeah, I don't know if I got it in me. And besides, you know, all these other plagues have already happened, and God has been so faithful to us. He spared us from those plagues. It happened to them. It didn't happen to us. You know, I don't think it's going to matter if we miss this one. This isn't a big deal. Or how about, Dad, the lamb, it's good, right? Like, it's not hurt, right? And what if it said something like, well, it's got that cut that we fixed up last week, but it's getting better. There's very little pus coming out of it now. You know? And look, lamb blood's lamb blood, right? I mean, you're just going to kill it anyway. What difference does it make? Or how about, Dad, we're going to do this, right? We're actually going to do this. And what if he said something like, well, I would, but you know, that Moses, he's kind of a fanatic. You know, I don't know. We really need to do this. But you know what?
Those things can be us. Those reasons, those excuses, that can be us. But God wants us to do this and remember Him. You know, we can, as parents, we are obligated to share what these things mean, just like they were obligated to share these things and what they meant to the kids, or it just becomes a dead ritualistic thing that means nothing. And so it's important to understand what these things are and pass these things on to our children so that they understand what they are and what they're doing, and it doesn't just become a dead ritualistic thing. Like, hey Fred, how's your lamb? We don't want to get there, do we? No. And we want to make the time to meet with God's people and do these things. It's important to the Lord. And He wants us to do this. He wants us to observe this so that we don't forget Him. Because He's coming back. Right? And in this world, this crazy world that we live in, it's so encouraging to have a place that you can come once a week and gather with other people, isn't it? And remember the things of God, because those things are edifying and uplifting, right? These things encourage us and they build us up, and we can go out and face another day, right? Want to remember the Lord. That's where our hope is. Our hope is not in the things of this world. This world is passing away. So, these are good things. Think about that Passover. Lots of neat things there about the Lord Jesus and that Passover. Maybe your parents can go through some more of that stuff with you this week. But anyway, any comments from the adults before we close? Okay. Well, very good. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your word, and thank You for the truth that it contains. Lord, help us to remember. Help us to be diligent with our children. Help us to understand more ourselves and teach Your word. Lord, these young lives are so precious. And this is such a crazy world in which we live, Lord. We just pray for Your help in this endeavor. We thank You that we have Your instruction and that You are a loving, faithful God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.